When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. 24th day of April, 2024, or as we like to call it, Draft Eve here in NYC. Dan Grosser Show, live and in living color. You know where you're at. 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. As I sit here and I try to adjust the microphone to levels that are a little bit more acceptable to my vocal range. Because Alan was sitting here earlier today, and Alan's what, like 6'8", 6'9", something like that, right? And he could take a quarter off the top of a backboard very easily. I'm not. He's got like a foot on me, so I have to like adjust the mic and play with it here to make sure that you can hear what the hell's coming out of my mouth. But regardless, Harvey's here, Joe is here, Jacob is still hanging around. It's always great to see Jacob. And Jacob said he was going to listen to the show on the way home, so I'm going to hold him to that promise over the next 2.5 hours. And it is indeed a full uninterrupted vehicle as Anthony Pusick actually makes an appearance. Everybody's here today. Everybody's here today. It's like one big party. Everybody's just there. See, they're not going to be able to go to sleep tonight because there's so much going on. There's so much happening. Jacob was saying it like 5 minutes ago when he was in here. He's like, I can't even function. All I'm thinking about is the draft. It's all he's thinking about. You got the Knicks up 2-0 as they go down the turnpike to Philadelphia. You got the Rangers up 2-0. As they get ready to head down to D.C. You got the Islanders who can't hold a lead, and that's another story for another day. But regardless, maybe the goalie change will help them out. But this is the show that if you want the full uninterrupted vehicle, this is the one to have it. Because if you're a football fan in this town, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you root for probably one of two teams, and we're only going to cater to one of two teams or two teams tonight, and that would be the Jets and the Giants, of course. You will hear from our good buddy, Rich Cimini, coming up later on at, what time is that, Harv? 8:30, Rich? Rich is 8:30, right? Yep, 8:30. Jordan Renan on the Giants side of things coming up at 7:30. We got a Grasa Us coming up at 8 o'clock. So there are plenty of things that are going to be able to get us through this little program. And as always, you can interact with the program. Get me on the old Twitter, at Dan Grasa, G-R-A-C-A. The Metropolitans are 2 outs away from finishing 500 on their West Coast trip, which is pretty good, all things considered. You know, you go into Dodger Stadium, take 2 out of 3 from them, and you lose the first two to San Francisco. The bats go cold a little bit, but they perked up here today in a big way. But, you know, the only negative, again, if you want to throw some cold water on it, is that the starters just don't go deep into games anymore. The Mets are getting no line from the starting pitching. I mean, Sean Manaea left the game today with a 6-0 lead. He didn't even finish 5 innings. You know, it's April 24th. By May 24th, this bullpen's going to be on fumes. The starters are going to have to start to give the Mets some length, so they can at least be able to carry on this feel-good story that they've been the first month of the season here. Francisco Lindor getting unlocked today a little bit with a couple of long balls and driving in a whole gaggle of runs for this baseball team. Marte, even though he had an 0 for today, but Marte has looked more like the guy from 2 years ago when he made the All-Star team as opposed to the guy who was off injured and struggling a season ago. So the Mets will come back. They'll take tomorrow off and then welcome in a struggling Cardinals team to Citi Field this weekend, and you get all geeked up with the debut of the Citi Connect uniforms, which are going to happen on Saturday. Yankees are playing the rubber match of their series against the Oakland Athletics. Well, you know what? I just lied about that because it's a 4-game series. I thought it was 3. It would have been a rubber match, but since it's 4, it's only game 3 of 4. But the Yanks are going to take on the Oakland A's. Schmitty is going to take the ball tonight for the Bombers to see if they can take 2 in a row off of this Oakland team, which, you know, it's funny. Oakland's been a little feisty so far this season. You know that they got that stud at the back end of the bullpen in Mason Miller, so if Oakland does have a lead, the game is pretty much over because he's throwing fireballs coming out of that bullpen to get the final 3 outs of the game. But I guess the best thing you could say about the Oakland A's at this point of the baseball season is that they're not the worst team in baseball, like everybody thought they were going to be, right? Because the Miami Marlins are terrible, and the Chicago White Sox are this year's entry into the who could be as bad as the 62 Mets. Right? The expansion Mets that lost 120 games, that could be this Chicago White Sox squad. They are terrible. They are 3-20 to begin the season, and they are going nowhere fast. So we got a little bit of everything tonight. We really and truly do. And You know, we'll do all the draft stuff coming up later, but let's start with the MSG co-inhabitants, if you will, the Knicks and the Rangers. And last night, look, give the Rangers credit and give the Capitals credit too. And I say give the Capitals credit because, you know, Washington came out a better hockey team than the one that we saw over the weekend in game number one. They took it to the Rangers about as best as they possibly could, given the talent gap that exists between the two teams. And what you saw over the course of those 60 minutes with the Rangers last night was, again, the depth, the answers, the solutions that they have when they step out on the ice. And that's why they're one of the teams that is going to be in the conversation to win a Stanley Cup. You know, they could just beat you from so many different ways. And even though Washington had a better push, the Rangers were up for it. You know, when you see the type of game that Amika Zibanejad had, where he was all over the ice, Vinny Trocheck, again, as he's done all season long. You scored 8 goals so far in the 2 games in these playoffs, and they've been scored by 8 different guys. You know, spread the wealth, share the wealth. I know at the end of the day, your big guns have to be your big guns, but the secondary scoring, the tertiary scoring, you know, if you get that throughout a long Stanley Cup playoff run, which you have to go through 4 rounds, got to win 16 games, other guys are going to have to step up and play the role of hero. It's just human nature. So where are we right now with the Rangers? Well, you know what? You're in the same spot that you were a season ago when you were up 2-0 against the Devils. And some people, I don't want to mention any names, thought that the series was pretty much over, that there's no way they're going to lose that series. Well, different story this time around, right? Different story. Number one, this Washington team isn't as good as that New Jersey team was last year. And this is a better Ranger team. I think that's the most important factor more than anything else. This Ranger team is just flat out better. You know, this feels different. This team is, I mean, with the Rangers right now, if they don't sweep, you're going to sit there and be surprised. Like, you expect them to go down to D.C. and win the next 2 games and then rest up for a second round matchup, which in all probability is going to be against the Carolina Hurricanes. Although I do think, and I know that that last game was ugly in so many ways for the Islanders in a game they probably should never have lost. But still, I actually think the Islanders are going to get one of these at UBS. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow night, but I just got a feeling like they're going to have a say into this series. You know, Patrick Waugh switching up the goaltenders, which is nice, give a little bit of a spark, but I think the Islanders are going to get one of these wins. We see it a lot in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I would expect them to do that. But it would be an upset at this point if we don't get Rangers-Canes round number 2 with these Stanley Cup playoffs, which is kind of what we all expected. And may the best team win, because that is going to be a heavyweight brawl in the second round of the playoffs. And it's really one of the reasons that, again, just exposes this stupid playoff format that the NHL continues to keep rolling out there, right? And the fact that you can have quality teams, teams that are good enough to be in the conference finals, maybe should be in the conference finals, but are going to get eliminated in the second round just because of the format. I mean, you see it on both sides of the ledger, both in the East and both in the Western Conference. It just happens. What do we got, like a buffet in there tonight? We got donuts, we got pizza. Everybody just keep... See, I thought that they just keep coming into the control room to see me. What's happening, Anthony? Everybody loves a donut. I thought that they were just a bunch of friendly people coming in, waving, saying hi, but no. And then I look over the shoulder there and I see that there's donuts. I see that they're... Harv, how long have those things been sitting there, buddy?
It's a good question. I've only been here since like 5:30. I'm not sure how long they've been
out there. Do we have any intel on these donuts? How many boxes are there? There's only one box of pizza?
There's 2 boxes of pizza and there's a box of donuts here.
Where'd the pizza come from?
Good question. I'm not sure, honestly.
I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo about pizza. I didn't get the memo about donuts. Nothing. I don't know if I'd eat them, though, but regardless. Other people are partaking, and that's why they're coming into the control room.
There's probably more around here somewhere.
Oh, there's got to be. You know, wherever there's food, people are lurking. Wherever there's free food, there's going to be people lurking. That's generally the way things work. And who could blame them, right? 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. So you're feeling good about the Rangers side of things. And then the Knicks. And unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to talk about what went down on Monday because we had the Ranger game last night. So we didn't have ourselves a program. But I was on the pre and post for that game. And there's few games that you are going to experience. Forget about a Madison Square Garden. But in this town as a sports fan, in the postseason, that are going to have the drama and the climactic ending, just the sheer thrill that you got in that game on Monday, whether you were at Madison Square Garden, whether you were watching it at home, whether you were out at a bar, whatever. That doesn't happen every year. That doesn't happen very often. You know, and if you're a Knicks fan, I would think that one of the things that comes right back to the forefront of your memory after a game like that is maybe you take a step back after all the hoopla dies down a little and you just allow your mind to wander, right? You allow your mind to go back to the last 15, 20 years, and there were a lot more lean years than good years if you were a fan of this team. When you think about the who's who that would be in a Knick uniform, that would be out there running up and down the court at Madison Square Garden in a meaningless game in early April, where they basically let anybody they could in the building just so they could put a decent crowd out there, you know, free hot dogs, that sort of thing, and just kind of the laughingstock that the club was all throughout the NBA, and not just in professional sports circles or here even in New York City. But now you see a franchise that 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when none of the big stars even wanted to take meetings with in free agency, right? Remember all those jokes that were made during the summertime? Nobody even wanted to sit down and talk to the Knicks. How many times did you go on ESPN.com or pick up any sort of publication or read whatever to where players don't value the Knicks franchise? Madison Square Garden, the Knick organization, nobody wants to play for the Knicks. Nobody wants to be a part of it anymore. It's not a desired place to go. Remember, wasn't that all that long ago? People laughed at Julius Randle that he actually signed up for multiple years and wanted to be a part of this thing, where Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving went to Brooklyn. How's that working out now? Huh? How's that working out now, where nobody wants to come to the Knicks? Madison Square Garden doesn't have the same appeal that it used to. How is that working out now? You know, you want to go back and watch the end of that game on Monday night? Forget about watch the end of the game. Go back and watch game one, where if you're doing a broadcast in that building, you can't even hear yourself talk because it's so loud. Do players still don't want to go to MSG? I'm curious. Just want to know. Because that looks like a team that not only is the entire city behind, it's a team that's got the city's back as well. And I think that if you are a player playing in some other market in the United States, and you pop on the old tube, if you're not in action that night, and you see what's happening at Madison Square Garden and how this team is beloved and the players are embraced, and you got the celebrities sitting there courtside in the $100,000 free seats, and they're into the game, you can't tell me that anybody with a pulse would not want to be part of something like that. And all the jokes and all the lampooning and all this other stuff that was attached to this franchise, some of it self-inflicted, let's be real, right? On the court and off the court. But those are things of the past. And that's not right now. The Knicks have become, dare I say, a model franchise. You know, there was that stupid poll a couple of days ago from some players saying that, you know, Tom Thibodeau was the coach that they would least want to play for. Well, guess what? Pretty soon, I would say probably in a week's time, max, there's going to be 8 teams left for a chance to win a championship. 8. Tom Thibodeau is going to be one of 8 coaches left competing for a championship. All those players that said they didn't want to play for Tom Thibodeau, would they like to play for Tom Thibodeau now when he's 1 of 8 possibly standing around next week? How about that? And he's playing to a sold-out house every single night, and they can't even keep the roof on the place because it's so loud and crazy in that building. And then outside on 7th Avenue when the games are over? Just bring that same smoke each and every round in these playoffs. Just keep it going. All the guys in the NBA who right now are probably somewhere either on a beach or on a golf course and with their feet up, not even in the postseason, don't know anything about winning, and they say they don't want to play for this coach and wouldn't want to play for this team or this city. Interesting.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So the NBA releases the infamous two-minute report, or final two-minute report, yesterday, detailing the end of that Knicks-Sixers game. They basically told you that, you know what, the Knicks were in some sort of violation, right? There was a foul. Maxie, well, you know, a lot of other things happen over the course of a 48-minute game. And I never was a fan of it one way or the other. I don't care who it was for, who it was against. Because to me, those things are nothing more than salt in the wound. I hate it with the NFL because it's not like it's going to change the outcome of a game. Like, I actually think that there were some people that when the league issued that report yesterday, number one, they probably thought it was the first time that they had ever done something of that significance. No, it happens regularly. But do they actually expect the league to go back and replay the final 2 minutes? Like, I don't understand what you would hope to accomplish from that. That's why, what is the point? Right? Is the point that, oh, we have guys that actually do their job? We have guys actually keeping tabs on the officiating and what should happen and what should be done? Like, what do you hope to accomplish by this? Same thing with the NFL. It's not going to change the outcome of these games. You're not going to go back and replay the final 2 minutes just to make sure you get the call correct. And then possibly alter the outcome of it. No, none of that is going to happen. So why even do it? Here's the bottom line, all right? If you're Philadelphia and you got a 5-point lead that late in the game, where all you got to do is essentially get one stop and grab a rebound. But even after the Brunson three, after the ball was not successfully inbounded to what you would like if you were Philadelphia. And DiVincenzo missed that first three-pointer. And then if you go back and you watch it, you got four 76ers that are basically in the paint area. Four. And then Isaiah Hartenstein comes flying in out of nowhere to grab the rebound. One against four. So you can point to all these different things and say there's a foul. You still had ample opportunities to seal this game away. How about Kyle Lowry, moments before, down the other end of the floor, missing a free throw? Tor, if he makes that free throw, maybe we're talking about a different bowl game, or maybe we're even heading to overtime. To me, it sounds like sour grapes. It really and truly does. Because Philadelphia had many, many chances to sew that game away, and they didn't. So here's the bottom line. If you're the Knicks, what do you do about it? Right? What do you do? Now, game number one on Saturday was not total domination. And you thought that they would have to come out better in game number two, and you know what? They didn't. And that's the concern here a little bit, is that they've gotten off the slow starts here in these first two games. Now you're going to be going back down to Philadelphia, and how is that going to suit you? You know, I'm sure that that place is going to be all jazzed up. But if you want to take positives out of what the Knicks have done so far, number one, the fact that they find ways to win games even when Jalen Brunson's not at his best. And clearly he has not been at his best. You know, I tweeted this out yesterday. I went back and I did a deep dive on Brunson and how sensational he's been this season. But he struggled here for the first two games of this series, right? Goes without saying. He shot less than 35% from the field in these first two playoff games. That is un-Brunson-like. Okay, that's not like him. And he has not had many games like that this season. 8 of 29, 8 of 26. This season, he had 14 games when he shot less than 35% from the field. 14 out of however many he played in, plus two with the playoffs. Four out of those 14 games happened against the Philadelphia 76ers. So there is something there with the matchup to where they do a good enough job on being able to take away what gets him in a comfort zone, and give credit to the Sixers for that. You know, we detailed that going into the season. Going into the series. You know, he only shot 40% from the field, 30% from three against Philadelphia this year in four games. That's below his season averages. Scored only 22 points a game against the Philadelphia 76ers, well below his season average. But what's interesting, more so than anything, at least to me, about what he's done the first two games of this series, is that of all those games this year where he shot less than 35%, the only times it happened in back-to-back affairs were games one and two of this series. See, normally when he had a little bit of an off night, he'd bounce back, and he'd look like that guy that we're so used to seeing on a night-in, night-out basis. But it didn't happen the other night, and the struggles were there. Yet he still got that one three-pointer to go late in the game off of the front rim, which, of course, we know was huge in helping them win a game. So you can look at it and say, yeah, he's struggling, and that he's eventually going to get this thing on track. But then you can look at it another way and say, well, despite all those struggles, Knicks are still up 2-0 in the series. And it's great that they're finding ways to win, even when Brunson isn't at his best. Remember, Julius Randle goes into shoulder surgery, out for the rest of the season. Everybody says, well, you know what? It's just going to be more strain on Jalen Brunson. He's going to have to be that dude, right? The guy who's played like an all-NBA performer this year. Well, he hasn't the first two games, and the Knicks have found a way to win both of them. That's a good sign to me. That's a good sign. You know, Josh Hart playing like a maniac. Never comes off the floor. Nice to see a guy like Bojan Bogdanović. Even though it wasn't much the other night, but him making those back-to-back threes in the fourth quarter to stretch the lead, albeit temporarily, but they did that when Jalen Brunson was on the bench. Winning those minutes, critical. You know, they don't win those minutes. Maybe they don't crawl out of that five-point deficit in the final minute of the fourth quarter. It all adds up. I know I keep saying that. That's why you play 48 minutes. Like, all these points add up, and they all count. All these stretches of the game. It means something. So if Bogdanović, who, let's be real, since he's put on a Knick uniform, he's struggled more often than not. He doesn't sink those back-to-back threes and give the Knicks those 6 points, we might be having a different conversation. Getting ready for game three. What you got from Deuce McBride in game number one? It's a variety of contributors. Maybe not to the extent that you're seeing from the Rangers and the depth that they have up and down their lineup, because obviously the Rangers right now are more of a whole team than the Knicks are. If I could compare sports. But going back down to Philadelphia, I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. Could there a chance be that Philadelphia takes both games? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You know what? The way the first two games have gone, I can't sit here and say that I wouldn't be, sir. I would be stunned if Philadelphia wins both games. We're coming back to the Garden for a game five in a 2-2 series. Wouldn't shock me at all. But I still expect the Knicks to find a way to get this thing done. I said Knicks in six at the beginning anyway. So I thought that Philadelphia would at least have a say in these matters.